Sometimes it's kind of hard to segue from Lord's table to the talk. It's because it's so quiet and sobering, and then I have to talk. So, who wants to break that silence? But here we are, and I think this goes along really well with the Lord's table. But I'm going to start with the account that we have of the two tablets, right? The Ten Commandments written on the two tablets. And we're all pretty familiar with this story. So God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai. He tells him to cut these two tablets out of stone. He keeps them up there for quite a while, like 40 days and nights, I believe, and gives him all the commands and writes them on the tablets. Moses comes down from the mountain and sees that the Israelites have basically given Moses up for dead and have made this golden calf and are worshiping it. Moses is really mad and breaks the tablets. The Israelites are punished. And God tells Moses to do it again. He says, cut two new tablets, just like the last ones. Bring them up to Mount Sinai. And let's do it again. So here we are in Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 9. It says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. You know, I can only imagine being in Moses' shoes right now. Right? We've heard this story since we were little kids. A lot of us have. And it kind of turns into just a story instead of something that really happened. Imagine being in the presence of the Almighty. Being in His presence. Hearing His voice proclaim the name of the Lord. No wonder Moses responded as he did. He bowed his head to the ground and he worshipped. No wonder. And he basically made three requests to God. He said, Lord, will you please go among us? Will you please pardon us? And will you please take us as your inheritance? So, my question is, what was it that God did that incited the worship and the self-offering of Moses? And my conclusion is long-suffering. Patience. It says so in verse 6. The Lord making these statements about Himself, saying He is merciful and gracious, long-suffering. I think it wraps it up pretty well. What God has done for the Israelites, what God has done for us. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's patience, long-suffering. They're kind of interchangeable. And I'm going to talk about it because it's something that we need every day, right? I mean, who here has not encountered something this week that required patience, long-suffering? Maybe every day. I know I have. But before I get into too many details about it, I want to encompass the topic in a motivation, okay? And here is our motivation for long-suffering and patience. How has God been patient for you? Okay, that's our motivation. And I'm going to keep coming back to it throughout the lesson. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Simply says that. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's our motivation. Okay, so let's start out with what is patience? What is patience? Well, I can tell you, first of all, the first thing that comes to my mind is patience is a fruit of the Spirit. All right? Love, joy, peace, patience. Which means that it's an attribute of God. It's something that defines who He is for us to understand. It also means that patience is a good and perfect gift that comes from above. James 1, verse 17. Keep these things in mind. It is a fruit of the Spirit working in your life. It is an attribute of our Creator and Sustainer. And it is a gift that He gives to us if we accept it. That's what patience is. What else is patience? Patience is long-suffering. A lot of translations will use the word in different scenarios. Sometimes it'll translate a patience, sometimes long-suffering. They really go hand in hand. But what is long-suffering? Well, flip it. Suffering long. Okay, so that brings me to the topic of suffering. And what is suffering? Well, we hear all these stories about martyrs and Christians who are being persecuted or have been in the past. And therefore, we undermine our own suffering, really, because we're not being eaten by lions and we're not being rolled over with steamrollers from the feet first. We're not. But really, if you get down to it, suffering is going through or doing something that you would rather not do, right? It's having to do something you really would rather not do. That's suffering, or go through it at least. It takes patience to do what you don't feel like doing because you know it's something you should do. That takes patience. That takes long suffering. Because what's our motivation? God has done it for us because it was something we needed. Can we not show that as well? As with a lot of the attributes of God, I might even say all of them, they're so related, right? Where you see one, you often see the other. Like the fruit of the Spirit. Love. If you've got love, are you going to have joy? Yeah, if it's real love. And if you have joy, are you going to have peace? Yeah. And if you got peace, patience? Sorry. Kindness, goodness, you just see them all together, right? You don't just see one and it's like, oh, in this situation I have love and love only. Well, no, you're going to see them all. It's the same way with patience. Where you see patience, you see endurance. Where you see endurance, you see perseverance. Keep these things in mind. It's funny, before I even considered talking about patience today, while at work, it's the little things that get to me. And if I get a whole bunch of them in a row, like six or seven little things, I dropped that tool, that screw wouldn't start, I spilled primer right there, and I just cut this piece of PVC and dropped it off of the rafter that I'm sitting on, and now I have to climb down the 10-foot ladder to go get it. Ah, I just want to scream and throw something, right? It's like, come on. But there have been a couple times this past week that something like that happened, you know, six or seven things right in a row, and whoever I'm working with, I go, huh, I must have taken my patience pill today because that really didn't get to me. It's kind of funny, really. But took my patience pill this morning. I'm not a very patient person. That's why I'm talking about this today. But my point is, sometimes it's the little things that undermine us and we don't really pay attention to. It's the little sufferings. Because, let's be real, Satan takes every opportunity to make us suffer that he can get. He's not going to let any of them pass us by. Big or little. And that's why it's long suffering, right? Because sometimes it seems like a nonstop barrage of little things. Suffering long, all day long. Or maybe I suffered yesterday, and I suffered the day before that, and I suffered the day. Life is long suffering. Suffering long. So pay attention to the little things and don't let them be the ones to make you fall because you didn't pay attention to them. One more thing. Colossians 1, verses 10 through 12. If you would turn there with me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. This is some practical advice. Paul is telling the Colossians how he prays for them here. Okay? He says in verse 9 that they do not cease to pray for you, and he makes a list of all the things that he prays for them. And in verse 10, we pick up with, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And this is where I realized that there's really nothing special about suffering long. Okay, there's nothing special about it because anyone can do it. In fact, we all do it. We all suffer at one time or another. The people in the world suffer. It's how you do it. Do you do it with joy? That's what makes us special. That's what makes our long suffering special, is because we can do it with joy. There's no point in long suffering if it is devoid of joy. And that takes strength, right? It takes strength to suffer long with joy. And where does our strength come from? Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering. Remember our motivation? How God has suffered long for you and been patient for you? We are strengthened with His might so that we can be the same way. One of the definitions of patience is cheerful hope. Interesting, isn't it? Cheerful hope. Verse 12. We can give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. That's cheerful hope. So let's make patience and long-suffering personal. If you just talk about it like some abstract, it doesn't really mean much. What are situations that require patience? I'll just tell you a few that I thought of. First one that comes to our mind when you hear the word patience is waiting, right? Be patient. I'll get there. Psalm chapter 37, verses 7 through 9. Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. This is a Psalm of David. He spent a long time being chased by the Philistines, being chased by the king of Israel, Saul, who hated him, trying to be killed by so many different people, having just a few followers, living in caves. Talk about someone who knows what he's talking about. He waited patiently for the Lord, and he became the king of Israel, and brought the Israelites together into a nation. And he was a man after God's own heart. So what do we wait on? Waiting on results for a test, waiting on results of an examination, physical results, waiting on an answer for what I should do next. Where's my life going? We wait a lot. It takes patience to wait. Sometimes you feel stuck while waiting. Like you feel like you can't do anything until you get some results, right? But be patient, because in reality, whether you think you're stuck or not, every minute that goes by is that much closer to the fulfillment of your motivation for patience, right? The inheritance. Those who wait on the Lord shall receive the inheritance. Verse Verse 9. There we go. Sorry. So you're that much closer to the fulfillment of your motivation when you're patient. Okay. Here's another one I thought of. Another situation that requires our patience. And I chose the phrase, dampening your anger. I have anger issues. Some of you are blessed enough to not really have to deal with that. Congratulations. But I get angry quite easily. And I chose the phrase dampening anger because patience to anger is like a wet rag to a hot pipe that you just soldered. It just hisses for a little while, and then it takes the edge off. All right? It's probably still warm, but if you touch it, it's not going to melt your skin. Patience is what makes you look past the heat of the moment and get a more accurate perspective. Why am I really angry? Is this really something I need to throw my hammer across the room about? No. You'll find out that it's usually just not such a big deal when you're really mad in the moment. Patience dampens your anger. I think that the main patience test for all of us is people. So forgiveness is another situation that requires patience. It's suffering long and forgiving what was done or not done that hurt you, whether the other person is sorry or not. Forgiveness does not rely on someone else being sorry. And that takes patience. That takes suffering long. Here's a big one. Refraining from judgment. Refraining from judgment. What do I mean? Let's turn to Romans chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It takes patience to refrain from accusatory judgment and grumbling. It really does. It takes patience to do what you should do, whether someone else is doing what you think they should be doing or not. That's kind of a confusing statement. Let me say it again. It takes patience to continue doing what you should do, whether someone else is doing what you think they should be doing or not. Example for me is a lot of times I work in pairs with people on an install, for example. And there's a specific individual that works pretty hard when he's by himself, but when he's with me, he really slacks off because he knows I'll pick it up. And I can be an accusatory judger and be bitter about this fact, or I can realize that I'm going to work the same pace and the same amount of diligence, whether he's doing what I think he should be doing or not. And not grumble to the other guys that feel the same way. It takes patience. It takes patience to turn your mind to the goodness of God rather than the goodness of me. Because that's our motivation. So we talked about some situations that require patience, and I'm sure you'll think of your own because we all have our personal patience tests. So now what does patience require? First thing that came to my mind was faith. Patience requires faith because it deals with the unknown. If you're waiting on something, you don't know what the result is going to be, otherwise you wouldn't be waiting. It takes faith to believe that God is God and he cares for you and is going to make it work out the way it needs to work out. That's patience, and it takes faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. So what do I see here? It's humility. Patience takes humility. Lowliness, bearing with one another. And when I hear that phrase, bear with, I think of carrying, that kind of bear. Like, we've all got a corner of the box that we're picking up. And you got to stoop down with the person whose box it is and lift the corner and bear with. Because it's not a one-man job. Long-suffering and lowliness and bearing with, they're related. Because God bore with you and bears with you. Take my yoke upon you. Here's an obvious one of what patience requires. Love. It requires love. Last thing I want to talk about patience is that there is promise in patience. There is promise in patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Remember Psalm 37? Those who wait patiently on the Lord inherit the promise. And James 5, verse 8, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Patience is not without reward. The word of the Lord tells us that. And the best rewards are the ones that you exercise patience to achieve. Think of the examples in the Bible of people who were patient. Patient with those they were with, patient on the Lord and His timing rather than your timing. Patience is something we need every single day. If you didn't realize that before, I think maybe this week, if you found something that can kind of just stick with you, you'll realize how much patience really is a part of our lives. That patience is suffering long. Patience is suffering long with joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from God. It's an attribute of God. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to dampen our anger. Sometimes we have to forgive. Sometimes we have to refrain from judgment. Remember that it takes faith and humility and love to be patient. And remember that there is reward. There is promise in patience. So if any of you don't have a motivation or an inheritance to look forward to that lasts a lot longer than this earth, then we invite you to. Or if there's anything else you need to bring before us, please do as we stand and sing.